In previous episodes, we talked about patterns and the patterns we run that help us or hurt us. Part of that included our patterns in conflict. In today's episode, we will take conflict a bit deeper. So perhaps we can gain a better understanding of how healthy conflict resolution can actually bring people closer, not cause more division. Hi, welcome back to Soul Speak. I am Meg Michelson. Thank you for being here, for liking, for sharing, for commenting. I do read all the comments and I do take them all into account. So I appreciate that you're here and finding this of value. So all of us in our lives have had conflict within, conflict with others. Perhaps at times we have promoted conflict, and perhaps at times we have run from conflict. Those times that we and others have avoided conflict, why do you think that is? Have you asked yourself, why am I avoiding conflict? Why am I not looking at how to resolve this? Is it because we're afraid of reactions or opinions? Are we afraid of disempowering someone else or feeling disempowered ourselves? Are we afraid of being rejected? Are we afraid of what someone might say? You know, conflict is real. And when we learn to listen as well as speak our truth and allow the healing of our own inner past, allow the healing of those triggers, we can truly learn to not avoid conflict, but work through it in healthy ways that bring us closer to ourselves and closer to others. Recently, I was talking with a friend of mine, and he brought up that he does not like to talk politics with people. I asked why. He said it was because he doesn't always like his reaction. And I'm curious about that. I understand it. Maybe he's triggered into a big emotional response, or maybe it causes him to feel small. But whatever it is, it's a good awareness that he's not always liking his reaction. That's a good first step, awareness. And then what do we do with that? A few weeks ago, I was speaking with a woman about the political differences she shared with her partner. She said they've learned not to talk about politics. But of course, sometimes it still comes up. And something he said really triggered her, and she went into a verbal storm, attacked him verbally. They worked through it afterwards, and they've been together long enough to have been through many verbal storms. As I've said, conflict is real and will be a part of our lives. My belief, we're going to have conflict through our whole life in some capacity. And also in my belief, it's possible to get to the place that we have learned to navigate our conflict that we feel within. Because once we have learned to navigate that conflict within in healthy ways, we might not pull the trigger outside of ourselves. We might not verbally attack or verbally vomit. We might not have external verbal storms. We can learn to resolve the conflict within and then come up with healthy solutions with those around us. Conflict is here to help us grow, to help us wake up, to help us live a life that is more in line with who we are in our full light as humans on earth. That inner conflict is always telling us which direction to go if we choose to pay attention to it. And those closest to us, those we supposedly trust the most, are those we can also be the most harmful to. Our closest tribe. They're here to inspire us, to push us to live in truth. And oftentimes they mirror us. They're meant to help us relax into that inner knowing, to let our guard down, and feel comfortable enough to speak real. That does not mean the truth needs to be attacking to those closest to us. It doesn't need to be a storm. It can be done with peace and calm. It can be done with listening and sharing. It is possible. And it takes practice. And are we ever going to get it perfect? Probably not. I know I probably won't. Just keep trying. You know, those of us that were raised in homes that had safe containers with our parents, grandparents, siblings, neighbors, teachers, that taught us and created a safe enough container so we could speak our truth within, and share that truth calmly with others without all the baggage of defensiveness and confusion. We could talk real and be heard. not attacked for being different or worried that we would be pushing someone away or they would take away their love from us. That, however, is unfortunately very rare. I've never actually even met someone that was raised in that household, completely in that place of safety and security and not being afraid that the love would be pulled or we'd be shamed or blamed, because we're human. Most of us are raised and are being raised with woundedness, with wounded humans trying to feel love from others when we don't even feel it from ourselves. We have to work more at finding the truth and clarity within. We have to work a little harder at it. And learning how to give and receive and listen and share and stand in someone else's shoes and be compassionate to self and others. And when we do, and when we keep walking one foot in front of the other and spending time in reflection without reaction, we will grow more self-confident, authentic self-confidence. But it does, like I said, takes bumps, bruises, connecting to our higher self and our intuition so we can stay awake. We need sleep in order to do that. So we also need some healthy self-care. I know I'm much different on the nights that I don't get sleep the next day because I'm human. So how do we learn to be authentic with others so we can have truly loving and intimate relationships with those we want to? How can we learn to share from a place of gentle kindness without taking on the reaction, the poison arrows that might be thrown at us, and the poison we swallow because we hurt someone's feelings and now we feel guilt and shame, even though that wasn't our intention? It's so complex, feelings, isn't it? We have so many, many ways we avoid the truth. We can use anger, we can use hurt, we can run, we can work too much, watch too much television, drink, smoke, we can blame. We can even use humor and creativity to escape. And yet, we might still crave that inner connection. And until we get there, we will always feel a little lonely. No one can fill our cup if we have not learned to connect healthfully within. You know, and stating and feeling irritated by someone else's neediness is also a way we escape intimacy. When we feel irritated because someone needs us, ask self why. Is it irritating because we either see ourselves in that person, or we're running from our own needs, or we can't fix theirs, and we have not learned to be listeners? We want to solve the problem, and it's so uncomfortable because we can't. I was so patterned in that as a mom, wanting to fix my kids' stuff, and it was so uncomfortable to feel and hear their pain, work in progress. Humor and creativity are beautiful and necessary. Helping others is beautiful and necessary. Any of that can be too much if it's keeping us away from authentic intimacy. Caring for others can also be an escape tendency. Caring for others is important. However, it can cross the line into codependency. We can use it in ways to control and manipulate, remember. We've talked about this in other episodes, because it's all learning. We want to learn to care for self with consciousness. We want to learn to care for others with consciousness. Not giving at the expense of self and then feeling resentful or shame or blame because look how I lived. Because they're taking advantage of me. They're not giving back to me. Yet, it was our choice to begin with, right? A man I used to know would get real to a certain point. And then he would use humor to stay away from the most vulnerable parts of himself, the truth about how he was living, the pain he was carrying. Keep someone at arm's distance. A woman I know, so very giving. She would want to fix everything for her kids to prevent them from hardship. This isn't me I'm talking about, but for sure that was me. Yet hardship happens anyway. And learning to be resilient is an essential quality in a human being. Teaching our kids resiliency. Teaching our kids that they can have bruises and bumps and will be there, but we won't jump in and fix it. We might walk with them while they're learning how. Listening. Listening instead of jumping to solve is a lovely quality as a parent, a partner, in personal lives and in business, to a friend, a sibling. Feeling someone else's pain or running from feeling someone's pain will always cause us to lack true intimacy. We can learn to feel their pain. That's a great skill, as long as we can learn not to absorb it and let it take us down. We can learn to feel their pain, understand where it's coming from, create a safe space, a safe container, and be there for them through it, but not as a savior, just as a human. When we choose to stay present to our own pain and the pain of others, we are no longer running. We grow from an emotionally immature human where you might take everything personally or react with anger to a safe and strong human who is not afraid of challenge and understands that we are here to learn to work through challenge. We can do this with our friends, our partners, our children, our parents, our siblings. When we're not present to self and others, everything might be going through the filter of past wounding. I take a hit and I do not even ask why or how or what is going on with the other person. I just feel like, oh, they just socked me in the gut. And then I create the story within my being and within my head, and it becomes about me. Then the story is taking over and that becomes the reality. And it's just one-sided. Can cause a whole rift when it was so unnecessary. We can be in an unrealistic storyline and then be mad or hurt, stay mad, slap back. And then this causes the deterioration of a relationship. And when we're doing that over and over, the rift can become really big. And not that it's irreparable, but it takes more time to repair. Why? Because the other person that we're doing this with stops trusting us. And this happens in relationships all the time and much too often. Think of all the pain we cause within and for others when we're only in our own, what I call our own private Idaho, our own self-contained chamber of pain. And of course, the opposite of this is to have the uncomfortable conversations that when we allow the true exchange, when we're listening to self and to another, can bring us closer. It can bring us closer as long as we are staying calm and not hurling poison that will cause more deep wounds. And of course, like I said, even then we can still heal the relationship with self and others as long as we're working towards changing the harmful thoughts, actions, and behaviors we have been creating, we have been doing. This lovely couple I'm working with that told me I could share. They really are understanding where they've been hurting each other, where they've been separating from each other. Because instead of talking through it, they're creating the stories. And now they're getting to that place where they can sit down and surrender. Sit down and say, this is how I'm feeling. I'm not sure what's going on with you, but I've been feeling hurt. Can you talk to me about what's going on with you? And then they listen, not jumping to the butt or the blame, or the defensiveness, but true surrender. I can hear because I have two ears, and I'm meant to listen. And then when I'm hearing you talk about what's going on with you, and I'm not trying to fix it, I'm not solving it, I'm not blaming, I'm not resentful, I'm just present. Now I can look at how that is causing my woundedness to come up. It's so interesting, but it does take patience and it does take time. You know, those closest to us and those we spend the most time with will activate and trigger the pain we have not worked through, which is why, in my belief, we're here on earth. That's why we chose these people, these players in our story, the pain we came to work through, to become more awake, more enlightened, more whole, more authentic, more light-filled, so we can bring in the gifts we came in to bring and make the world a healthier place. Because sometimes we might not even realize all the pain we are holding from the past of this lifetime, and perhaps the pain of the past of life beyond this lifetime, who knows? However, it is key to take responsibility for where we feel the disconnect, for where we feel not present, for where we feel like we can't share ourselves with someone that's supposed to be our closest partner, our best friend, our child, our parent, whoever that is. No one is going to come in to save us. This is not the contract we made for this lifetime. When we discover that we are only responsible for our actions, our thoughts, our feelings, life becomes easier in many ways. And again, when I'm responsible for my thoughts, my actions, my feelings, I'm not responsible for my friend or my daughter's thoughts, feelings, and actions, does not mean I get to treat them with disrespect and not care about how I'm treating them. No, just the opposite. Our thoughts, our feelings, our actions absolutely affect others. When we live in a higher vibrational truth of taking responsibility, owning our part in that space of whatever that relationship is, and connecting with our higher good, listening for that wisdom, which we are all here to do, we naturally treat others with more respect, more love, because we're treating ourselves that way. We may see that we no longer see everyone else's flaws as a personal attack. We might see them as imperfect humans that may or may not be trying to hurt us, but we're not going to take it so personally, because even someone that's trying to hurt us must be in a whole lot of pain. And the truth that they are not connected to themselves in a healthy way doesn't mean they have a right to hurt us if they're doing it intentionally. We hold up healthy boundaries. But that, again, is going back to I'm responsible for how I am thinking, acting, behaving, including healthy boundaries. Because sometimes others are not aware of how their own behaviors, their thoughts, their actions are affecting us. We can say, they're taking so much from me. They're always taking advantage of me. Are they really? Or are we giving it to them unknowingly? What if, when we felt disrespected, when we felt hurt, we gently and calmly named it? I'm not sure what you're feeling or what you're going through. I do want to let you know that I'm feeling hurt right now by what you said or what you did. Or I'm trying to sleep and your music is too loud. It's right outside my door if you have a roommate or if you have a child or a parent, you know, whoever that is. What if we calmly said, hey, would you mind turning that down? I don't know if you realize that it's causing me to not sleep. But it's up to me to say what's hurting me. It's not up to them to figure it out if I'm not willing to use my voice in a healthy way. Yet we hold it in. And then the stories start in our heads. And then the victim energy creeps in. Then they become the bad person and we become the one they're hurting. I'm the victim. They're victimizing me. They won't turn their music off and I'm trying to sleep. And it can grow so big. And then it can cause this deep wounding. Now we keep feeding the wound. You know, opportunities arise in our lives all the time for people to discover what really helps us become more alive, awake, authentic. And we do this as humans through pain, challenge, loss. And we also do this through what brings us joy and the healthy, passionate feelings we can experience. Not just the bad, but the good. Paying more attention to the things that bring us joy helps us become more authentic. And how do we become then more real and healthy ways in our intimate relationships? It goes back to taking time to know ourselves by being willing to look at what we're running from, what we are afraid of, by being willing to look at our passions, look at the things that bring us joy. Are there enough of them in our lives? Or are we just walking around half there? How often are we giving into fear? How often are we giving into just living with anger instead of opening up to reveal where is the anger coming from? Where is the fear coming from? And do I really want that to own me? Do I really want to be walking from that place? Is that the legacy I want to leave? We mistake fear for weakness. Is it really? If we get more awake, will we not have fear? I don't believe that. I think we're still going to sometimes feel fear. But the more we are connected to ourselves in healthier ways, the easier it is to take the breath and walk into the areas that still might frighten us and not run from them. Because if we give in to the fear, we're going to stay disappointed in self. If we give in to the anger and that's what we're coming from, we're going to be more disappointed in self. However, when we allow ourselves to work through the anger, work through the fear, to understand where it's coming from, and then say, I'm going to do this in a healthy way through the fear. Now we know ourselves better. Now we become more real with ourselves, and then we can become more real with others. All part of the human experience. It's how we react to our feelings, to work through our feelings, to understand them, to know them. That causes us to build an authentic self-esteem as opposed to a false ego self, the one that's protecting ourselves too much, the one that's been hurt too many times and now doesn't really trust others. It's only because we're really not connected to self enough. I was listening to this podcast recently, and this man named five things to help us become more in line with a full human self. And I want to end on this. Why? Because I really resonated with this. Five steps to becoming more in line with full human self. And this is, of course, my take on it. It's not verbatim. Learn to live with our passions, which means we need to know what we're passionate about. We need to know what is causing me to either feel alive or enchanted or excited. I want to spend time there and live that passion as far as we can, as long as we can, until it starts to fizzle. But then we have to ask ourselves, is it fizzling, the passion fizzling, because this is too hard? It's too much climbing uphill? Or is it because, no, it doesn't interest me anymore? Again, that's back to getting to know self. What am I feeling and why? Number three, take actions and live the passion. Move forward without attaching to the outcome. This is tricky as humans. We've talked about this before because we're all outcome attached naturally. However, to live fully present, we can have a goal and want to live that towards that goal. What if it doesn't manifest? Does that mean all that time was wasted? No. That's why we can't attach to the outcome. Stay with the passion, one foot in front of the other. Have a goal, but don't keep so firmly to it that we're completely devastated when that doesn't happen. Because then we can stay more positive, which is number four. Staying positive, and staying positive when we are being bruised over and over is awfully challenging. But that means waking up and being in gratitude, finding things about our lives that we feel grateful for, finding things about our life and ourselves that we love about self can be so simple. I'm lucky I have people that love me and that I love. It's a huge gift. We all do if we open up to it. And number five, know our beliefs. Let go of those beliefs that are outdated. Let go of those beliefs that no longer serve our highest good. Know what we believe in now, where we are now. And check it. Is this a belief that is going to serve my highest good, that's going to get me to really love my life? Live those beliefs that will lead you forward so you can have an authentic, real, vibrant relationship with yourself and an authentic, intimate, vibrant relationship with others. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for taking the time to get to know yourself better, because it's a beautiful ripple effect in our world. Thank you for sharing and for liking. And if you have any comments, send them my way, because I really do appreciate them. Have a beautiful week, a beautiful month, and we'll tune in again soon. Hey, listeners, thank you so much for being part of the Soul Speak world. I really appreciate that. And if you're willing, and if you find this of value, would you please follow on any of the platforms you're listening to, whether that's Apple or Spotify or Google or any of the platforms. And of course, I love the ratings if you find this valuable. You can also follow me on YouTube and like and share. And all of that really makes a difference. Appreciate your participation. And of course, I really appreciate you being part of this world.